Lots of good news in the medical world to talk about. This posted from WGN-TV just moments ago. 1,031 hospitalized people with COVID, lowest since the pandemic began. 401 new cases. We were averaging 2,000 plus per day in early May. 51% of adults fully vaccinated, 67% partially. And then 61% of people 16 plus are also on their way with at least one dose. Then you look at some other stuff, too. I mean, Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Northwestern Medicine, joins us here. He's the chief medical officer. I'm looking here, less than 6,000 cases, COVID cases, in the entire United States. The UK reports zero COVID deaths. You think about, wow, we've really come a long way, haven't we? How are you today?
I'm great. Had a great weekend. The sun's shining today. It looks like summer is now here. Wasn't for the weekend, but I think this week it will be. And our COVID numbers are looking so good, like you say, Anna. I mean, what more can we ask? Oh, and the Cubs won yesterday. So
I know. Did you go by any chance to Wrigley? Were you there?
No, I wasn't there, but I was, you know, very happy to see that we're ahead of the Cardinals in first place, right? These are good things.
Good thing Ronnie Woo Woo was back in the stands. I'm told that he was out there because he just got vaccinated, and you know, he never misses a game. And he was out there because, you know, he said, "I'm vaccinated now. I felt comfortable." So he's moving through the crowds and greeting everybody, and so it's all coming back. Lots of good news.
Yeah, I mean, Ronnie Woo Woo not vaccinated is potentially a super spreader event. So I'm thrilled
totally.
To hear that Ronnie is vaccinated. Good for him. Good for him.
Well said. Well said. You know, and we are going to get to a little tidbit that's sort of fun here. If you don't like Brussels sprouts, that may help you in the fight against COVID. Do you want to begin with some of the meteor stuff, though, first, Dr. Cope? Because I always like asking about that stuff, too. It's interesting because, you know, as you look sort of nationwide, it's the vaccines that are protecting so many people and bringing our deaths down and the hospitalizations and that kind of thing. And it just overall across the country, things are just doing so well.
Yeah, there's no question the vaccines are showing their efficacy and how, you know, just how great they are. We're seeing numbers go down everywhere. The other thing, too, is we're now getting into the good weather, so people are outside more. And as we've been talking about from the very beginning, we know when we're outside, when large groups of people are outside, it's way safer than being inside a confined space. So the combination of the weather and, most importantly, these vaccines, that's why the picture is so much better right now. And I would expect that we're going to continue to see this happen. The trends are going to be really, really good. One caveat, Anna, you know, mm-hmm. if we think back to last summer, we were doing really well here in Illinois, in the Chicago area, during the summer. But if you remember, down south, they started to get into big trouble with COVID. They had a big, big surge that we did not experience here. And that has to do, I think, in retrospect, with the difference in weather. You know, when it gets so hot and humid in some places in Texas and in Florida, people go back inside, right, to be inside the air conditioning. And that probably had a lot to do with the spread that they had last summer in the southern states. Obviously, nobody was vaccinated yet. So when we get into the hotter weather starting, you know, in July and August, particularly down south, we're going to want to keep a close eye on this because we know that the vaccination rates in places like Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia are not as high as we'd like them to be. So this is something for us to just keep really close tabs on, because I think it's going to teach us a lot about the behavior of this virus as we get into another summer.
I want to ask you more about that, Dr. Copen. I think that's interesting because all of us may be wondering, so how does this play out from here? And I'm just looking at the list here. The New York Times put together great data on the prior 2 weeks. And you talk about trends. They're talking about state trends here. Colorado now trending the highest in terms of per capita cases. Washington, Arizona's on that list and trending upwards. You mentioned hot weather. Missouri's on the list. Some others, too. And I just wonder, what do we expect now as you get this percentage and hopefully climbing of vaccinated people? How does COVID live amongst us now for the year ahead? What should we expect?
Yeah, it's a virus that probably isn't going to go away. It's going to be among us. It's going to be among human beings. And I'm hoping we can start to think about it the same way we think about influenza. Influenza and this coronavirus that we know as COVID-19 are both respiratory pathogens, respiratory viruses. Influenza, we know, comes around mostly in the late fall into the winter, maybe the early spring. And I'm thinking that we might see the same thing start happening with the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. That coronavirus is going to start to act more and more like a usual respiratory virus. Our vaccines will be effective. I mean, it looks like the vaccine against this virus, the COVID, is actually more effective than the usual influenza virus. So that's really exciting. So I think we'll be able to manage this. We're going to live with it. This virus will not continue to ravage the world the way that it has. Remember, we're still in a pandemic. I keep stressing that. We're not done with this thing. But I think that's what's going to happen. We're just going to have to learn to live with it, and we're going to have to learn to manage it, which we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've proven that. I think that's all a lot of good news out there. That's good. I want to ask you about this, Dr. Copin. There's a study out that talks about how the antibodies from the cold can neutralize COVID-19. Did you see this study? I wonder what you make of that, that there may be some connectivity there.
So there's been some speculation from the very beginning that there's some cross immunity between the common cold virus, which is one of the common cold viruses, is the coronavirus, a different version of the coronavirus that causes COVID. But it's what we all know is a regular cold, just the simple cold that we get. There are some people who seem to have some immunity to COVID because they have immunity to another coronavirus. I wouldn't jump to any big conclusions yet from these kinds of studies. They're only coming out right now. But what I would say, Anna, which is so exciting, the scientific breakthroughs that we're seeing right now about human immunity, the way our bodies deal with viruses, the ways that immunity is achieved, and the way that immunity can be continued for a long period of time, We're learning so much every day. Some of the basic science the guys who are in laboratories are doing right now is just extraordinary. And I think every week and every month, we're going to be seeing more and more really interesting studies coming out that continue to illuminate our understanding of the human immune system. And that's going to help us in making decisions about vaccines, about boosters, all the things that we've been talking about. And all of this then will be based on real science that's reproducible, that gives us guidance about how to move forward so indeed we can manage this virus.
Mm-hmm. And then the WHO, the World Health Organization, decides that they're not going to call the variants after the names of the countries or regions anymore. It's going to be Greek letter names, which my Greek American family members are very pleased about. I just this switch, I guess it's happening, what, immediately?
I wish we could get past all this. You know, is it going to be easy to remember that the variant that arose in Britain is the Alpha variant and the one in India is the Delta variant? I don't know how much this is actually going to take hold. You know, if everybody can just calm down and be nice to each other, mm-hmm. we wouldn't need to do this, right?
Right.
I was actually worried, Ann, I was going to ask you whether the Greeks are going to be happy that their letters are being used for variants of the COVID.
Oh, any celebration of the culture I have found is a welcome one. If you name a street name, you paint a Greek flag on the side of a restaurant or something, this is great news. I have not heard from any Greek Americans in my orbit who are offended by this yet, but I will let you know. I do agree with you. I think that
Twitter,
this
I'm sure it's out there.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure it's out there already.
The place where all niceties
but this
are
is
uttered.
The World Health Organization is suggesting. We'll see if it takes hold or not. I just wish we all could calm down when it comes to these things. We just need to learn you know, how to deal with this virus and get it under control once and for all.
Yeah, we're all in this together. That's how it began. That's how it's going to end as well. There's no doubt about it. I just found that so interesting. But we'll see what how that takes hold. I guess the medical community would be most affected by that than anyone else. I got to ask you, though, Dr. Copin, before we run out of time here, this Brussels sprouts study, and I love this one because I hate Brussels sprouts, is talking about how folks who do not like Brussels sprouts and bitter-tasting foods, that you might have some, your body may have some resistance to COVID or help fending it off. What do you make of this? Please don't tell me it's garbage.
You know, when you just see the headline and something like that, it's like, oh, come on, right?
Uh-huh.
So, but there actually is something really interesting here. And here's the deal. Here's how it goes. We all don't experience taste the same way. There are some people who are called super tasters. They just have heightened taste buds, essentially. And that has to do scientifically with the kinds of receptors they have for taste on their tongues and throughout their oral pharynx, which is the upper part of our airway, our mouth, and the part of our throats in the back. Those people happen to have different receptors there than people who cannot appreciate the bitterness, say, when you eat Brussels sprouts or certain types of coffee. So there are people who have the heightened taste, the super tasters, or people who have the regular taste, and people who have lesser taste. It turns out that there probably is something about these receptors that the super tasters have that help fight off the virus. Isn't that interesting? There's actually real science behind this. I actually read the article that just got published in JAMA Online. And it's very interesting what the sciences of taste and how these receptors actually can help heighten the body's local defense mechanism to viruses attaching to the receptors in the oral pharynx that can lead to this infection. There really seems to be something to this. Now, nobody should get too excited about this, whether you're a super taster or you have lesser taste. It's just an interesting observation. But this might actually help guide some future research looking for ways to create new vaccines and new medications that can help protect us from something like COVID-19. And in the meantime, Anna, my recommendation is to look for some Brussels sprout recipes. They actually can be quite delicious when prepared the right way. And they're good for you.
I know this, and this is why I try. I try to eat them. I try to get my family to eat them. And I will tell you, they are too bitter for me. I hope that provides some protection against COVID. I don't know. This sounds like there's real science. It's in JAMA. You just described it. But one recipe I have found is that if you crumble them up real small, you heat up the oven to 425, you drizzle a little olive oil, salt and pepper on them, maybe balsamic, put them in there for like 10 minutes. They get crispy. And for some reason, when they get crispy, they don't taste so bitter. Have you tried them that way?
Yes. Yeah. That's the Copin family recipe, exactly what you described. My wife prepares them that way. It's fantastic, and they're good and crunchy. Olive oil just gives it a nice taste. Yeah, I'm with you. That's my favorite way.
You scoop up the extra pieces, and the kids think they're like potato chips. They're like really good. So, okay, we'll do that. And in the meantime, wait to see what happens with these super taster studies. Gosh, so much exciting research ahead that's going to tell us so much more, I guess, about this.
About isn't
the COVID.
It cool, though, the kinds of things that we're all learning together, right? I mean, here's the thing. And this, by the way, this actually explains why people like different kinds of foods. Foods don't all taste the same to everybody, right? We know that. We know that from our own everyday experience.
Sure.
And, right? It's so interesting. And it's something now that we all know because of this COVID thing. Whoever would have thought?
But who would have thought that then you would then link that to your body's ability to fight off any virus or infection? That's fascinating to me, really.
Yes, yes, yes. How it all kind of fits together. The biology of human beings, Anna, is constantly, constantly amazing to me. The more I learn in all the years I've been doing this stuff, the more there is to know. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. It's never boring doing medicine. It's never boring learning about how things work. And let's learn more and more about how this COVID thing works so we can get the thing under control.
Sounds good, Dr. Copin. Thanks for the time today, okay? Appreciate you.
Everybody take care and enjoy the beautiful day.